Hey, Northwest Ohio. Are you tired of just surviving? Are you ready for some fresh ideas? You've come to the right place. The Thrive Tribe 419 podcast features local experts in wellness and experiencing the best life has to offer in the Midwest. Let's thrive together.
Hey Tribe, it's Rose, and you're listening to episode 12 of the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. For show notes, go to tt419.buzzsprout.com. And before we get started, I would like to share another fantastic iTunes review. I gotta say, it tickles me every time I log in and see that someone else has left a review, so thank you for that. This review is by Danny Small. She says, down to earth, fantastic, packed full. I have enjoyed every podcast from Thrive Tribe 419. I especially appreciate the guests being from all walks of life and in different levels of crunchiness. Made me feel welcomed with open arms as I continue on my journey to a healthier lifestyle. So thank you for the review. I really appreciate it. It really makes me happy to read that. And segue, tonight's episode was supposed to be about happiness, which is a topic that quite a few of you have requested, but unfortunately, our guest has the flu, so we hope that she feels better really soon. And in place of this episode on happiness, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I feed my family, how I eat, how I feed my family. I recently was sort of unofficially, I guess if that's a thing, unofficially diagnosed with celiac. I've been gluten-free for a long time, and that's one of the reasons why this diagnosis can't really be confirmed. But all the signs point to celiac, and all of a sudden I am finding that I'm needing to be more and more conscious about what I eat and being very diligent about checking ingredients on labels and things like that. And I've had to do this for myself and my daughter for a long time, but it's just sort of this unofficial diagnosis has sort of taken it to the next level. So I know there are a lot of people out there who are like me, whether you're gluten intolerant or gluten sensitive or truly celiac. This is an important topic to many. So I wanted to kind of talk about how I've been doing things. This is sort of a practical, solution-based episode. So I'm just going to get right down to it. And I guess the way that I would describe the way that we eat most of the time is paleo, except that I find that I do need to eat some grains. And that's probably going to change as I work with my naturopathic doctor, because we're trying to get some other health issues under control. So I imagine that she's going to eliminate grains at some point. But right now I feel like I don't do very well without a little bit of grains as carbs. So with that said, the first thing that I keep in my pantry is all kinds of nut products. I keep a big bin of mixed nuts. I buy the nuts that do not have peanuts, because peanuts are high in mold, and because we've had some candida problems in myself and my 5-year-old, we kind of try to avoid peanut products as much as we can. We don't completely eliminate, but we try not to make those our go-to. So we keep almonds, cashews, pecans are also one that's higher in mold. Or not pecans, cashews are high in mold. I think pecans are okay. And seeds, we do sunflower butter, we do walnuts, we do almond butter, things of that nature. As far as canned food, I don't do a lot of canned food in my pantry, because we are worried about the BPA that is on the inside of cans. But some things you really can't avoid buying in cans sometimes. So, you know, you just have to make that call. I usually choose a Tetra Pak over a canned product, but that's really up to you. And, you know, it just depends on what you're trying to do. And you don't want to take so many things out of your diet and have to make so many things from scratch that you're just eating like a bird all the time. We don't want that either. So some convenience is good sometimes, and you can make that call. But some prepackaged things that we do are bone broth. I buy coconut water. Something I've been using a lot of is coconut cream, which locally is really tough to find. If anyone knows where to get coconut cream in the Defiance, Ohio area, please let me know. I've been looking for it and cannot find it anywhere. So I order my coconut cream from Amazon. I buy like a big pack of it and make sure that it's organic, and I look for good pricing options on that. We eat a lot of salsa in our house. You just read the labels. We try to buy organic when possible. We try to make sure it's lower in sugar. We do buy applesauce or like fruit squeezies sometimes, and I make sure that those are also organic and very low or no sugar. We don't do any sugar substitutes except for stevia, sometimes xylitol, and a little bit of erythritol, which we'll probably be changing here soon as well, but that's another story. We do almond milk, coconut milk. I do tomato sauce. I try to buy that in glass jars. And I am not a seafood person. Good for you if you are, because seafood is a really good source of a lot of things that we as Americans are missing in our diets, particularly the omega-3s. So if you can do tuna or salmon, lately I've heard that trout is a really good one. So if you can do those things, that's great. I'm trying to get on that bandwagon, experimenting with some recipes for that. And then as far as baking staples, we do almond flour. I use arrowroot flour, which is kind of like gelatinous when it gets wet. It takes a little bit of practice to get to know how to use it. And it also acts kind of like, if you have a problem with beans, just a fair warning, you might have a problem with arrowroot as well. We use coconut flour, coconut sugar. I use it's like a coconut milk, a dry coconut milk sometimes in recipes if I want to use like something to make like a white sauce, but I don't want to have the moisture. If I want it to be a little thicker, then I'll use the coconut, the dried coconut milk. We do a lot of like dehydrated fruits. We do maple syrup. We do raw honey. I try to get it locally as often as I can. We do shredded unsweetened coconut. And then as far as spices, my spice cabinet is growing all the time. I've been trying to use up my older spices or throw them out if they're not any good and replace them with organic spices that come in a glass jar, which is a little bit healthier. And I have found that the organic spice section at Aldi is a really great resource for those, more affordable than some other stores. So if you have an Aldi nearby, check it out. So we do just about every spice and seasoning out there. I like to do a lot of international cooking. So we have like all kinds of Asian spices. We have Hispanic flavored spices. We have Mediterranean, like Italian spices and herbs. I grow some of my own and freeze them. I have dried herbs. I also have dried herbs that I use for making teas, herbal teas. And I could spend a whole episode on just all the herbs and spices, but pretty much everything is good. I mean, this is not, you're not going to have an issue with gluten, usually with spices, unless it's a spice blend. So if it's a spice blend, you need to really take a close look at the ingredients list. A lot of times there's all kinds of nasty stuff in there. There's all kinds of fillers and preservatives and MSG. So just make sure if you're getting some sort of blend, please read the label. Condiments and vinegars. For a while, we were avoiding any kind of vinegar product because of the candida issue that we were having. I'm guessing that we're going to be going back to that pretty soon. But we do use apple cider vinegar. I use Bragg's Organic a lot of times or other brands that are similar to that. We use balsamic. We use Bragg's coconut aminos, which is something that I use in place of soy sauce. That's really good. It's really salty if you like salty foods. We use Dijon mustard sometimes. My husband loves hot sauce. He uses Frank's Red Hot, which is like a paleo approved hot sauce if you're looking for one. We use a lot of mayonnaise. I know that Primal Kitchen mayo is a good one. Unfortunately, we can't buy that around here, so I buy an avocado oil-based mayonnaise from Costco. That's really delicious, and it has no soybean oil in it, which is extra good because that avocado mayonnaise, some of the name brand ones, they have avocado oil, but they also have soybean oil, and that's not really recommended for healthy eating. So that's pretty much how I stock my pantry, besides having a lot of whole foods like fruits and vegetables. Now, I know when you're eating paleo, sometimes it depends on whose advice you're following. Vegetables are usually fine, but fruits can be iffy because of the sugar in fruit. But from what I've learned, both from my naturopathic doctor and from my own research, is that if you're not overdoing fruit, but you're eating like a normal serving size of fruit every day, that the sugars in fruit are better broken down in the body because of the enzymes that are contained and the fiber that's contained in the piece of fruit. So if you're eating a whole piece of fruit as opposed to like a glass of fruit juice or something like that, your body is better able to handle that fructose sugar. So as far as beverages, in my house we drink a lot of water. I mean, that's just a given. If you like your water to be flavored, you can add a little fruit juice to it, a little stevia, and it's delicious that way. I know some people do bulletproof coffee. We have not gotten on that train yet because I don't drink coffee. I have made golden milk before, which I think tastes kind of like, what's that stuff you have at Christmas time? The eggnog, but like without eggs. Not one of my favorite things, but there are some really great resources online if you want to try golden milk. It's basically you choose some kind of dairy-free milk, so it could be almond or coconut or hemp milk or something like that, and then you add turmeric, cardamom, cinnamon or ginger, black pepper, coconut oil, and honey and cinnamon. So I think I'm going to try it again now that the weather's starting to cool off a little bit. Maybe I'll give it another shot. But that's supposed to be really healthy. You can make a homemade cocoa mix with cocoa powder, cinnamon, coconut sugar, and sea salt. And you just basically mix all the ingredients together and stir it into some warm milk. And you can kind of experiment with the amounts of all these different things to try to bring the flavor out that you are looking for. And then one of my personal favorites right now is chai tea. I'm kind of addicted to chai tea. So I buy the chai, organic chai tea bags, and my favorite brand is Gypsy something. Oh shoot, I can't remember. But it comes in a like a tall cylindrical metal can, and it's organic, and their tea is delicious. So what I do is I just brew like a hot cup of tea, put the tea bag in, let it steep, and then I add a little bit of, if I have coconut cream or like the dried coconut milk, I will put that in there. Because just adding, I think if you add the just regular, coconut milk or almond milk, it has too much water in it and it waters it down. So you don't get that real like creamy flavor. And then I just put in a little bit of stevia or a little bit of honey. And, oh, it's so good. Sometimes I add a little bit of chocolate or cocoa in there, depending on what I have on hand. But I put that in there. And I should mention, too, that our family is also dairy-free. So a lot of the things I'm mentioning also are compatible with a dairy-free nutrition plan. So as far as grains that are okay to eat on a gluten-free diet would be things like amaranth, buckwheat, millet, oats, quinoa, rice, and teff. The grains that you absolutely do not want to eat are barley malt, bran, farina, oats, unless they're specified as gluten-free, and then, of course, wheat. I mean, we all know gluten is in wheat. That's a pretty common thing now that most people know. But some other things to look for, and you'll, of course, have to read ingredients. I'm a huge proponent of reading ingredients. Even if you don't know what things are, if you start to read ingredient labels and nutrition labels on prepackaged foods, you will start to become familiar with a lot of these things. And you'll start to see, you know, if you eat something and you don't feel well, you'll know, oh, that, you know, yesterday I ate that and that and I didn't feel well and those things both contained blah, blah, blah. So that's a good reason to start reading labels, just to start becoming aware of what is in your food and start making connections between things. If you don't want to do a food journal, that's a really good way to just get to know your food a little bit better. So some things you want to look for in these ingredient labels if you're avoiding gluten are barley malt, bouillon cubes, bran, bulgur, durum, gram, farina, malt vinegar, matzo, ramen noodles, soy sauce, teriyaki, most beers. If you like to drink beer, I recommend Redbridge. It seems like it's pretty common in Northwest Ohio to be able to find Redbridge these days. So that's one that I kind of like to have, but I don't do well with alcohol either, so I don't drink it often, but I have found that I'm able to tolerate that better than a lot of other beers that obviously have gluten in them. Other things are matzo. I think I already said that. Some hard ciders, brewer's yeast, triticale, cooking sprays. I would have never guessed that there was gluten in cooking sprays, but alas, there is. Sushi that contains imitation crab probably has gluten in it. A lot of herbal supplements. So again, you know, you wouldn't think that an herbal supplement would have gluten, but a lot of them do, unfortunately. So read the label. Salad dressings is a big one. Some mustards. Self-basting chickens or turkeys. This is on my list, but I don't really know what a self-basting turkey or chicken is. So if you would like to chime in on that, anybody, please let me know. That's a mystery to me. And then flavored yogurts are the last big one to keep an eye out for. I use a good old-fashioned crock pot with a ceramic crock. And yes, it takes a long time sometimes to cook things, but if you start them in the morning, if you plan ahead the night before to thaw any kind of meat that you have and then start the crock pot in the morning or even like midday, you usually have a pretty nice dinner at the end of the day. So some things I keep on hand for cooking with my crock pot are beans. And lately I've been learning how to sprout beans and seeds and things like that. So I've been using those in my crock pot meals. I keep all kinds of beef. Usually grass-fed organic is my go-to. I do a lot of chicken. I like to do like a cageless or free-range chicken and free-range eggs. We don't do a lot of pork in the crock pot, but it, you know, a lot of people do. And of course, turkey. Grains. The only grain I usually put in the crock pot is rice, which I'm learning how to sprout my rice and then put that in. I also put in corn sometimes. excuse me. It just depends on what I have on hand. And usually my crock pot meals are kind of spur of the moment. It's like dump this and dump that. So if you're looking for recipes, this is not the episode for you. But you know, a lot of these things do go well together. You kind of get an idea of what you prefer after you do it for a while. Some vegetables that work really well in the crock pot are asparagus, Brussels sprouts, any kind of squash or sweet potatoes. We also do white potatoes, which is not usually paleo approved. Right now we are eating potatoes, but we eat them very, very minimally, and I try to buy organic potatoes whenever possible because those can be a really dirty vegetable. And I don't mean dirty like dirt, I mean dirty like all kinds of other nasty things that you don't want in your body. So one of the popular things right now with paleo and gluten-free cooking is making bone broth, and I'm not much of a cook. I'm totally self-taught. I've talked about this in other episodes, but I found bone broth to be exceptionally easy to make in the crock pot. You basically, if you buy meat that has bones in it, which I hope you're buying grass-fed organic meat as much as possible, that's really important. If you're going to make bone broth. So you just save your bones. Save them in the freezer, you know, in a container. And then when you get a what you think would be like enough to fill up your crock pot pretty well, then you just toss them in your crock pot. It can be any kind of bones, chicken, beef, any kind of non-oily fish. And then you throw in some vegetables that are chopped in larger pieces, like onion, celery, carrots, things like that. And then you add water, fill it up, you know, pretty close to the top, but not so far that it's going to be boiling over, because you really want this to get boiling pretty well. And then you just do like a teaspoon of salt. And then you just let it cook. And I usually let it cook all day. I don't really have a set time. Oh, I forgot to mention that I add Bragg's organic vinegar to my bone broth because one of the recipes I have states that the vinegar helps to draw the minerals and all the good stuff out of the bones. So I like to add the vinegar as well. And then as it's cooking, there will be some kind of like foamy stuff that floats up to the top, and it sounds gross, and it is kind of gross, but you just want to kind of ladle that off. Sometimes when I make my bone broth, I don't add the vegetables until after I or I don't throw the vegetables in until after I ladle the foam off the top. That just makes it a little easier, so I'm not ladling out all those good vegetables with it. So you can really do it any way you want, experiment with it. And the reason that we eat bone broth, just in a nutshell, is because it's really good for your gut. It helps to seal leaky gut, and it helps to get all kinds of great minerals that we don't normally get from our food because of our depleted soil. So, some other things that are super easy to make in a crock pot are a whole chicken. This is one of my new things. I love making whole chicken. I have a cookbook by Danielle Walker. And if you don't know who she is, go to Against All Grain on the internet or Against All Grain on Facebook. She has a wonderful resource there, lots of recipes that are kind of paleo-inspired, grain-free recipes. And she has a great recipe for brining. Actually, I think hers is a turkey, but I use her turkey brine for my chickens. So I just put the whole chicken in there. I do Danielle Walker's turkey brine and a little coconut oil. And then I just let the chicken cook all day long. And I kind of check it intermittently to see if it, you know, how it cooks. And then when it's done, it's done. And the meat just falls right off the bone and it's so delicious. And we have chicken for days after that. So then I recycle, like the first night we'll eat chicken, and then the second night I'll recycle the leftovers and use them for another meal, or we'll eat them for lunch or something. So it's great because then you just cook once and you eat twice or three times. Now let's talk about soup. Soup is so easy to make in the crock pot. You basically just toss. I literally sometimes open my refrigerator, my cupboards, and my freezer to see what kinds of leftovers I have, and I just toss them in the crock pot. You can start with a beef broth or a chicken broth base. I like to get my organic broth at Aldi. Make sure that you check the label, because I know one of their broths, I think it's the beef, has gluten in it. So, possibly dairy too. I can't remember, but make sure you check the label before you throw it in your crock pot. But just, you know, put about a quart of liquid in your crock pot. Then you put in about a cup of protein, which can be beans, beef, chicken, ham, lentils, tofu, turkey, whatever you have on hand. I've even been known to toss in a little bacon or some leftover sausage, or even hot dogs. Yes, we do hot dogs at my house. We do nitrate-free hot dogs, you know, because I have kids and kids love hot dogs. So, yeah, whatever. We just toss it in. We sometimes do grains, like I had mentioned. So we'll do a little bit of, if you sprout, you know, put in your sprouted barley or your brown rice or your quinoa. You can even put in a little gluten-free pasta if you like that kind of stuff. And then put in about 2 cups of vegetables. That can be anything from broccoli to carrots to squash to tomatoes to sweet potatoes. If you've got kale, that's really great to sneak in there, and it kind of dissolves and your kids don't know it's in there. Spices, whatever you like, whatever you feel goes with what you're putting in there. So basil, chives, cilantro, salt, pepper. I always like to chop up a little clove of garlic and stick it in there for a little immune boosting support as well. And that gives it a little kick. As far as knowing how to match up spices and different foods, I'm going to give you a few of my favorites and how I use them. And you can basically just take this and run with it. So this summer we had a lot of basil in our garden. I have found that basil goes really well with chicken, with eggs. You can put it in like a homemade salad dressing. And it goes really, really well in sauces, whether you're making your own sauce or if you are chopping it up and putting it in a ready-made sauce that you've already purchased. Yum. It is so good. And my trick is to chop up the basil really small into tiny little pieces and then save it for right at the end. So when the dish is finished cooking, I toss in the basil and I stir it and it doesn't dry out and you just have that really wonderful aromatic basil that's so good. Yummy. Something else that I am really over the moon about is cinnamon. I've always been a cinnamon lover, and maybe this is why my blood pressure has always been good. I don't know. But cinnamon goes great. Like, you can do baked apples in the crock pot or on the stove. I love to make baked apples in my cast iron skillet. So you just put in some apples, you put in a little sugar. I use coconut sugar, maybe a little cinnamon, some nutmeg, and oh, turns out so good. You can eat it for dinner or dessert, doesn't matter. It's healthy and it's sweet and it's delicious. I could eat that any time of year. And I also do the same recipe with peaches when we have fresh peaches. So good. Cloves go well with those types of things too. Cloves also go really well in sweet potato dishes and cinnamon as well. So if you're making sweet potatoes, use up those fall spices. Let's see. I really kind of have a thing for cumin as well. For some reason, when I was pregnant, I was craving cumin. I have found that cumin goes well with just about everything. This is just my opinion. Maybe you all won't agree, but try it with beans, try it with beef, carrots, chicken, corn, fish, lentils, pork, tomatoes, zucchini, you name it. I really love cumin in rice dishes. That's one of my favorites. Garlic powder goes well in a lot of crock pot cooking as far as adding it to beef, beans, cabbage, carrots, chicken. Tofu, I think, tastes better with garlic. I'm not a huge tofu fan, but a little garlic or garlic powder. Ginger goes well with apples. If you're making those, the baked apples or baked peaches, I'm not a huge ginger fan. I just like a tiny little sprinkle. But I have found that it goes well with a lot of fruits. That's kind of how I like to use it. Some people like to use it in stir fry, or with carrots. I think that's a popular one as well. I'm not so sure about the ginger carrot thing, but you can try it and see if you like it. Nutmeg, again, that's like one of those things I call a fall spice, so I like to use it with my apples, my sweet potatoes, those like warm comfort food kinds of dishes. But it also goes really well with broccoli and cabbage, with carrots, cauliflower, and even lamb. And I like lamb. But I've never made it myself. So that's something I'm hoping to try in the near future. Oregano, that's one of those things that you always think of with Italian dishes. So that's a good place to start when you think about Italian dishes. You think of like mushrooms and zucchini and bell peppers and tomatoes, things like that. Oregano goes well with beans, it goes well with fish, and it goes well with zucchini as well. And then, of course, rosemary and thyme. Those things tend to go really well with chicken. I really like them with any kind of potatoes. I like to buy like a colorful, multicolored mosaic potato mix. It's got like red and purple and golden potatoes. They're real small potatoes, and I will throw that. This is usually for holiday cooking if we're having guests over. So I'll throw a bunch of those in the crock pot and put a little, actually a lot of coconut oil in there with it, and a bunch of sea salt and rosemary and thyme. Oh, it turns out so good. You will not regret it. If you're a potato eater, you have to try it. The next thing I want to talk about is smoothies. Now, smoothies I got into a few years ago when I had a uterine tumor. And I was a little bit scared because I thought that I was going to have to end up going into some pretty invasive treatment with possibly some methotrexate or some kind of chemotherapy. Luckily, it didn't go that far. But at that point, when I was waiting for test results and things after my surgery, I consulted a person who's kind of a whole foods wellness expert, and she suggested that I try making smoothies. So at that time, I was not a cook. I was a very reluctant cook. But I realized that making smoothies was really not that hard at all. So my basic recipe for a smoothie is basically for one person would be 1 cup of liquid. I like to use some sort of non-dairy milk. It's usually almond milk. So that's my base. And then I always keep frozen fruit, organic frozen fruit, in the freezer. And instead of putting empty calorie ice cubes in, I use the frozen fruit as my cold frozen portion of the smoothie. So you can really throw in anything that you want. Just depends on what you have on hand and what you like. I really like bananas because they're so sweet and they give you a little potassium, which I have found is really good for muscle cramping. But you can also throw in apple, cranberries, grapes, mango, oranges, peaches, pears, pineapple, and avocado. Avocado is a great source of nutrient-dense a nutrient-dense food, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. A lot of people don't think of avocado as fruit, but it is, and it's really nutritious. So, and if you use avocado, it will give your smoothie some, like, really nice creamy, feel to it, almost like ice cream, which is really nice. If you want to, you can put some nut butter in there. At the time, my food guru had me try some maca powder, which has kind of a nutty flavor, and it's also really good for balancing hormones, like female hormones. So I was doing that for a while. That was really tasty. But you could always do a different nut butter if you want that, and that kind of helps give it some creaminess too, in addition to a little bit of protein. And then veggies. Popular veggies to put in smoothies really vary from person to person. A lot of people like to do kale. If you have kids, they might not tolerate kale right away in their smoothie. My daughter tolerates just about anything in her smoothie as long as it's chopped up small enough that she can't really tell what it is. Also, you can do carrot. I personally don't like carrot in my smoothie because my blender, I don't have a Vitamix. I just have a normal blender, and it doesn't tend to chop the carrots small enough. So when you suck the smoothie through the straw, the carrots are kind of like chewy, crunchy, and I don't really like that texture, but you can really do it any way that you want. You can do spinach in there. You can do Swiss chard. You can even put chopped sweet potato in there, which I think is kind of like carrot. It just doesn't get chopped up very well in my blender. But I would guess that if you're using a pre-baked sweet potato that it would probably work a little bit better. If you want to put in a little bit of a boost into your smoothie, you can use acai powder. You can use cacao, which is one of my favorites. Gives it a little chocolate flavor. You can do chia seeds. You can do cinnamon, flax seed, ginger. You can do hemp seed powder. You can do matcha. You can do any kind of nuts or nut butter, like I mentioned. Spirulina, that I believe is a chelator, and I'm not going to get into chelation right now, but that was one of the things that was suggested for me when I had my tumor. So that was one of the first things I tried in a smoothie, and spirulina is very, the taste is very pronounced. It kind of tastes like, I don't even know how to describe it. I think how grass would taste if you were to eat grass. It's probably, but maybe a little more bitter than that. So if you try spirulina, you might want to ease into it. Just do a pinch at first, like a pinch for one serving, and then increase from there. And also, if you're having any weird symptoms after you eat spirulina, that may just sort of be a detox effect that you're getting from it. So just keep that in mind. And then a lot of people like to use vanilla. Just make sure that you're using real vanilla instead of vanillin, which is sort of like MSG. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that if you can tolerate dairy products, you can always put in a little bit of yogurt for some probiotic benefits. I suppose you could do that with some other probiotic foods as well, but that's really just up to you and what your needs are. Last but not least, I want to talk about using leftovers. Now, if you have a histamine problem, and I've run into this a little bit myself and I'm still learning about it, but sometimes leftover meats especially can be problematic for people with histamine intolerance. So that's something that if you think that that might make sense for you, you can look up Dr. Aviva Rahm online, and she has some really good articles about histamine intolerance. So, you know, if you're going through kind of a leaky gut issue in your life and you're having a lot of food intolerances, you may want to be really careful with using meat as leftovers, maybe even avoiding it, letting the rest of your family eat it, but maybe leaving it out of your food. But that's totally your call. So transforming leftovers, let's talk about this a little bit, because if you're eating whole foods, I've found that I have a lot of leftovers sometimes. Like, maybe not all of my vegetables will be used for a dish. Maybe I have too many. This especially happens this time of year, September, when you've got an overabundance from your garden. So I'm going to get right into it. Roasted vegetables. Roasted vegetables do really well in egg dishes like frittatas. You can do quesadillas, paninis, scrambled eggs, and soups. Of course, some of those things are baked goods, so you have to make sure that you are purchasing or making something for that is gluten-free. And there are so many resources online for that. I'm not even going to give suggestions, because you can Google it and come up with a million suggestions. Mashed potatoes, you can do a shepherd's pie. And you can even use mashed potatoes in some pancake recipes. Google that as well. Rice. Rice goes great in burritos and fried rice. You can do a rice pudding, which I love rice pudding, but I still need to learn how to make it. And I know that there are some recipes out there that are dairy-free. And then stuffed bell peppers, which I don't make often enough. I really need to do that a little bit more. Chicken. If you're deciding to use chicken leftovers, you can do burritos. You can put that in fried rice. You can put that in a pot pie. You can use it on top of a fresh chopped salad. You can stick it in soup. You can put it in stir fry, tacos. Chicken is so versatile, you can use it for just about anything. Fruit is great for breakfast if you do a gluten-free cereal, or if you do like a gluten-free oatmeal, just chop up some fruit, put it right on top there. And then of course, like I said before, toss it in the freezer so it doesn't go bad, and then throw it into your blender for your smoothie. Vegetables, frittatas, pot pies, soups, like we already mentioned. Potatoes, you can do like a potato hash. Potatoes go well in soups. They work great in the crock pot. Sweet potatoes, same thing. You can also use sweet potatoes in smoothies, like I mentioned before. But I think they probably work better in a Vitamix than in a normal blender. Beans are great in burritos. You can do refried beans after your beans are cooked. You can toss beans on top of a salad and, of course, throw them into your soup. Beef goes well in fried rice, quesadillas, soup, and tacos. Ham, also fried rice again. So you're starting to see a pattern here, right? You can do like a little bit of hash in a pan. Super easy. One of my kids' favorite things is to just, if I ever have any kind of potatoes, I will take a little bit of bacon grease and throw the potatoes into my cast iron skillet and cook those really well, and then toss in whatever kinds of veggies we have. And sometimes if there's a little rice, if it's cooked already, I'll toss it in right at the end. Put in any kind of herbs that I have like hanging out from my garden, whatever's on hand, and just do a little like hash in the pan. You can add a little eggs to it, whatever you like, and that always turns out good. I mean, what can you say? That those things always go well together, and once you get the hang of it, I mean, you basically need to stand there and keep an eye on it and stir and adjust the temperature as needed, and it always turns out great. And then fish, like I said, is something I'm still kind of trying to get used to eating. We have done fish tacos at our house. I have done a little bit of gluten-free pasta and made tuna casserole. And some people like to make fish cakes. I have not tried that yet. You can Google it for a recipe if you like. But those are some ways to kind of transform your leftovers and reuse things that are sitting around. And let's keep it up with this food revolution. Throwing food away is bad. Reusing food is good, right? So I hope that this podcast episode gave you some ideas about how to use food for your health, especially if you're eating gluten-free and dairy-free like I am, or trying to follow sort of a paleo-ish nutrition plan for yourself or your family. And I would love to hear back from you about what you thought about this episode. I will be putting lots of notes in the show notes for this episode, so you can come back and see what I talked about. And good luck, happy eating, and see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. If you'd like to join the conversation or see pictures and videos, check us out on Facebook and Instagram under Thrive Tribe 419. You can find show notes from today's episode or listen to more episodes at tt419.buzzsprout.com or on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean a lot to me if you left a review wherever you listen to the show. Leaving reviews helps others find us and lets them know that we're the real deal. And it lets me know that you've been enjoying the show and that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day and keep thriving.